Morning. Good morning. Any chance I could have? Oh, look at that. Oh, green sediment on the bottom. Lovely. There we go. A brilliant song, singing that one we just finished with, Jesus be the centre. Be my source. I'll tell you why I'm smiling in a minute, but I love that song. But is Jesus really our source? Is Jesus really the one we look to in any and every circumstance? Because that's what I'm going to be talking about today, that in every circumstance, every day, moment by moment, day by day, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, good day, bad day, it's just coming to Jesus. And the reason I'm smiling is because I was preaching at a church some years ago when Josh was only about that high instead of being about that high. And we were singing that song, and Josh was on the chair next to me, and we're singing, Jesus be the centre, be the source. And Joshua tapped me and went, I like source. Got the wrong one, but don't every time we sing that one now. Brilliant. Right. Have we got the slide up? PowerPoint. Does anybody know what this is? Oh, I'm not a Python. What is it? Oh. Do you know the very technical term for it? Or I begins with an S. S-I. Siphon. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a siphon. Now, I've got a fish tank at home. And what you do is you put that bit in the fish tank. And as long as it's higher like that, and you squeeze that, what happens? You have a bucket at the other end, of course, otherwise the carpet. The water, do you know how it works? What's the mysterious power that causes it to work? Gravity. You basically start to pump it by doing that. The water gets sucked up and goes down. So as long as the one object is higher that you're pumping from and your receptacle, your bucket or whatever, is lower, you give that a few squeezes. And when you have to change your fish tank or you need some petrol so you're siphoning it off your neighbour's car or things like that. I had a friend who, years ago, before they had ones where you squeeze them, you just like suck the tube and you take it out your mouth. My friend did that with his fish tank. And you're right, he didn't take it out of his mouth quick enough. So he got a mouth of manky fish tank water or something. So there you go. So basically what you do is you squeeze the handle a few times, gravity kicks in, and the water just keeps on flowing as long as that one. So if we had a big tank of water up here, and I had a bucket with a big siphon, that bucket would keep on filling until that thing up there was empty. Okay, we'll come back to that one later. Can we have the next slide up, please? That wasn't just a useless piece of information. We will come back to it later on. Just a couple of verses. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Everyone. Are you an everyone this morning? Does that apply to you? Yeah? When Jesus says everyone, who does he mean? Everyone, which means put your hand up and go like that. It means me. So when Jesus says everyone, ask, seek, and find. And I just want to share a couple of points from this passage that have really blessed me, encouraged me, and blessed me so much these past couple of months. We read in the Bible that God causes his sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. He gives his rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. That there's some things in life that we get automatically just because we're human beings. We get the sunshine, we get the rain. Some things come into our lives as Christians automatically, like being a child of God. We don't have to seek God about that. Because of Jesus, the moment we give our lives to Jesus, we become children of God. Because we're Christians, we have eternal life. So when we die, we will be with Jesus forever. There's some things that are automatic. They're part of, if you like, the salvation package. But there's some things, according to the Word of God, unless we specifically ask for them, we won't get them. Let's have a look at the next verse. James, Jesus' brother, says, you do not have because you do not ask God. You do not have because you do not ask God. So there's certain things in our lives that we haven't got because we don't ask God about them. We don't have them because we don't bring them to our Heavenly Father. We don't have them operating in our lives because we don't talk to God about it. There's some things that God wants each one of us to have. And I really believe in the sovereignty of God. I really believe that Jesus is Lord over all and is in control of everything. But there's some things in our lives we will not get unless we go to Jesus and ask him. Because that's what Jesus' brother says. You do not have some things because you don't ask God about them. Let's go to the next verse. Jesus says, let's look at the next one. You need to ask. Can you put the next one up, please, David? You need to ask. It's simple. Can anyone here ask something? If you need something, you go to the shops, if you go to Primark and you want to know where the men's boxer shorts are for somebody's Christmas present and you don't know where they are, what do you do? Ask a little kiddie who needs something. What do they do if they want something from mom and dad? It's something all of us can do. If you're from Birmingham, you can ask. If you're different, you can ask. You can do either one of the two, but it's so easy to do. The next thing Jesus says is, let's have the next one, David. Seek. God says we're to be people who seek, to actually look, to be determined, not to think, oh, well, I asked once and we'll get on to that. But something, you've got a desire for it. It's not just a whim or a fancy, but there's a desire there. Let's have a look at the next one. Knock. Jesus says we're to be coming on his door and knocking. There's to be a persistence about it. Let's have a look at the next one, David. And all of those spell ask. Ask. It's so simple. And I think sometimes I've got books about prayer at home. And I was listening to a sermon recently about prayer. And I thought, my goodness, this guy is making it so complicated. He's making this so complicated. When all we've got to do is come to our Father and ask. Ask. Brilliant. Right, can we have a look at the next slide, please? I don't know if you can see that. The left-hand one, does anyone know what that is in the top left-hand one? What is it? Can you see it? It's a scorpion. And the one in the right-hand one is a snake. We're dealing with people's phobias here. Both of those were in our garden in Thailand. First of all, that one on the left. I was away at a church conference once. These are true stories. I was away at a church conference once when we were in Thailand. And I rang Lynn up the one day. And she said, I found something ever so interesting in the garden. What was it? I'm not going to tell you. You'll see it when you come home. So a couple of days later, I came home and there in the garden was an overturned flower pot. And Lynn said, have a look under there. It was this beauty. You can see how big he is. Now, the thing is about him, he's deadly. One sting from him, you don't get to the hospital and you die. Deadly scorpion there in our garden. brilliant. I know what to do with this. I kept him and put him in a box. Later that day, Corin came to me, because I'd been away for a few days to a different area of Thailand. Corin came to me, she was about 4 years old at the time, and said, "Dad, missed you while you were away. Oh, I missed you too." And I knew she was after a present. So I thought I'd play a brilliant joke on her. Got this cardboard box and gave it to Corin. I said, "Put your hand in and see what's inside." So she put her... Oh, did you shriek? She shrieked. It didn't sting her, but as soon as she must have brushed up against one of its pincers or something, the box went flying across the room and didn't sting her, but there we go. So anyhow, I gave her a proper present afterwards, but oh, that was a hoot, that one was. Next, few years later, this one, snake in our garden. I remember seeing it slithering up the banana tree, and it was constricting a frog, and it swallowed. And I just, wow, this is just like David Attenborough. Snake in a banana tree eating a frog. It doesn't get much better than this. Anyhow, I thought, this will be good. I've always wanted a pet snake. It wasn't a poisonous one, but, you know, can still give you a nasty bite. So I put it in a sack. A couple of days later, Joshua came to me and said, "Dad, I'm hungry. Have you got a snack I can have?" "Yeah, sure." So goes and gets this snack, this sack. I said, "Put your hand in, you can have whatever you like." So Josh put his hand in and it bit him. You've still got the scar on your hand, haven't you? It bit him and tried to coil its way around him. That was a good one, that one was. Now, I have to qualify this. Scorpion in the garden, true. Snake in the garden, true. And I like to consider myself a half-decent father. But you think I would really put a scorpion in a box for my 4-year-old daughter? Stuart's, yeah, sounds a good one to me. Yeah. If I did that, you would be onto the NSPCC. Is it the NSPCC? Yeah. You would be onto the NSPCC. If I was giving my son a snake instead of a snack, then I would be deservingly reported, because you wouldn't expect a parent to do that, would you? No. Let's have a look at the next verse then, because this is what Jesus said. "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Jesus is saying there, if as a normal earthly parent who's got good and bad in their hearts, but even the worst of parents will know what it is to look after their children to some extent. If that's how human parents can be, then how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? There's no way I would give Corin a scorpion. There's no way I would give Joshua a snake in a bag to bite his hand. And God is saying to us this morning, he's your heavenly Father. He cares for you. And he just wants you to come and ask. He just wants you to come and ask. Just wants you to come and ask him. He's a father. Let's have a look at the next one now. But Jesus wants us to persevere. Because a literal translation of verse 7 is this. "Keep on asking for something to be given to you, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened to you." Jesus is saying, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. That siphon, sometimes I have to squeeze this pump a few times, give it a few squeezes to get the water going. And sometimes in prayer, we have to not just pray once, but keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on coming to God. Let's have a look at the next one, please. Jesus is talking to his parables. Let's have a look at the next one, David. Let's have a look at the next one, please. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And Jesus tells them a parable. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So what was the point? What was the reason Jesus told the parable for? Why did he tell this story? Yeah, to stop us losing heart. Because Jesus knows how we operate as people. Jesus knows my makeup. He knows each one of us. And he knows there's times when we'll be tempted to quit praying. There'll be times when we look at the problem and instead of getting better, the situation gets worse. There'll be times where we maybe pray for weeks, for months, for years, for decades, and it doesn't seem to improve. But Jesus says that we're to keep on praying and yet not lose hope. That's the whole reason Jesus taught the parable. He said, look, there's going to be times where you feel like throwing in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Keep on praying. Don't lose heart. We read in Acts chapter 12 about James, one of the early apostles, how Herod had him killed, had him beheaded, one of the first Christian martyrs. One of the apostles is killed. And then Peter is arrested and stuck in prison. So James, he's been beheaded. Now another leader of the church is in prison. They probably prayed for James and he had his head chopped off. So there's probably other people in the church thinking, what's the use of praying? Thought God was meant to answer prayer. Thought God was meant to listen to us. I thought he's meant to be a heavenly father who gives good gifts to those who ask him. But James has been killed. Peter's now in prison. And he's going to be executed. It's just a Jewish festival. So they're not going to execute him over that Jewish festival weekend. So he's only got a couple of days left to live. Let's have a look at the next one. What are they doing though? So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Peter was kept in prison, but situation was getting worse. Another church leader had been arrested, but. And for us this morning, we just need to hear, but. Keep on praying. Don't quit. It might not have worked in that situation. You can't understand why God didn't answer that. You can't understand why that didn't work out like you wanted. But don't lose heart. Keep on praying. Let's have a look at the next verse, please. Isaiah 62. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen. All day and all night they shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. This is talking about people crying out to God day and night, night and day. Not quitting praying, but when do they keep on praying till? Give him no rest until. That's the only time in the Bible we're told when to stop praying. Until that prayer is answered. We're to keep on praying. Keep on persevering. Don't quit praying. Because Jesus knows our temperament. Jesus knows that we're only likely to give it a few weeks, a few months, a few years even. But Jesus tells us this morning, Don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Don't throw in the towel, but keep on praying. Jesus wants us all to have that perseverance in prayer. I think maybe before, we've maybe heard from preachers, you know, it says, literal translation, ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking. And it's true, because in the Greek, those are like present tense, something you keep on doing. So we're often told that we've got to keep on asking, we've got to keep on seeking, we've got to keep on knocking. And all that I've said so far is true. But unless I think we go on to what Jesus says in the next verse, I think we miss the point of what Jesus is really trying to get across here. Let's have a look at the next slide, please. Because this is what I think Jesus is really trying to get across here. Keep on asking for something to be given to you. Keep on asking for something to be given, and it shall be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Keep on reverently knocking, and it shall be opened to you. And if we stop there, we will miss the point. And all we'll get with prayer is, we've got to keep on, we've got to keep on, we've got to endure, we've got to keep on praying, we've got to pray through until we get the victory, we've got to pray through until we get the results, we've got to pray through until we see the answer. And yes, we have, but Jesus doesn't stop it there, and neither should we. Because Jesus carries on and says this, for everyone who keeps on asking for something to be given keeps on receiving. He who keeps on seeking keeps on finding. And to him who keeps on knocking, it shall be opened. Let's put the next one up, please, David. What Jesus says is, keep on asking and you will keep on receiving. Keep on seeking and you will keep on finding. What Jesus is getting at here is, think of that siphon where you squeeze the handle a few times and it starts to flow. That's what prayer should be like. It isn't just a case of, like that fire alarm by the door there, in case of emergency, break glass, and it's probably only used maybe never or once in a blue moon, or, you know, someone as a joke breaks it. Prayer's not to be like that. Prayer, as Jesus sees it, is to be keep on asking and keep on receiving. Keep on seeking and keep on finding. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. That's what it's to be in our lives. What I call that divine flow, where the resources of heaven, where the supply of heaven, where everything in heaven, just like that siphon, is coming down to us because we're living a God-dependent life. Jesus really is our source, and we're living day by day, hour by hour, in dependence upon him, talking to him and praying to him. Let's have a look at the next one. One of the ways we do this is this. Do not be anxious about anything. Wow. Don't be anxious about anything. So if I was just to tell you now, don't worry, and leave it there, that would be impossible. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, anything and everything, by prayer and petition, which means specific prayers, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So every time a care, every time an anxiety, every time a worry comes, we're to take it to our Heavenly Father. We're to talk to him. And if you're like a normal person who lives on planet Earth, cares, worries, anxieties come all the time, every day, maybe every hour, and they keep on coming. So what are we to do? Live that prayerful life where we're just talking to Jesus about it all. So we keep on asking and we keep on receiving, because Paul goes on to say here, when we do this, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we have a worry, we pray, we take it to Jesus, and God's peace comes in. But then we have another worry. We pray. So it's like that siphon of everything Jesus has for us. We keep on asking and we keep on receiving. This week, would you agree that you're meant to live a humble life? Yeah? Yeah? You're meant to live a life that shows that Jesus is the one you're really trusting in? Yeah? That this week, Jesus is the one who's the Lord of every circumstance in your life? Yeah? How can we live like that in a practical way? Let's have a look at the next one. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. One way we can live humble lives, lives that show God is great and we're just normal, everyday people, because that's what humble is. That's what being meek is. It's not a case of, oh, I'm no good, I'm worthless, I'm just, you know, something you'd find on the bottom of your shoe, I'm no good. It's not being humble. Being humble is, God is great, I'm weak. He can, I can't. Like we heard earlier, I can't, but he can. That's what being humble is. And the way each one of us can be humble and God-dependent this life and show each other that Jesus is Lord and our Father cares is, verse 7, by casting all of our anxiety on him, because he cares. He cares for you. So that's one way we're to live our lives, just God-dependent, by casting our care, casting our anxieties. Something comes to mind, and you're just there wherever you are, whether you're at work, whether you're at the kitchen sink, whether you're walking the dog, whether you're lying in bed in the wee small hours, and something pops into your mind, you take it to Jesus. You talk to Jesus about it, and then you keep on asking and you keep on receiving, and there's just that flow of the blessings of God coming into our lives and flowing out of our lives. You look at Jesus. We read in the Gospel of Luke especially, he got up early in the morning to pray. You read that he kept on finding somewhere lonely to pray. You read that he prayed sometimes throughout the night and spent the whole night in prayer. And that's Jesus, the Son of God. And yet when there's big decisions, when there's things that are on his heart, or he just wants to be with his Father, he keeps on asking, so he keeps on receiving. He keeps on seeking, and he keeps on finding. And the life, and the blessings, and the peace, and the power, and the authority, and the righteousness, and the peace, and the joy of God are just flowing into his life and out of his life. And that's what God wants us to be like. I just want to give you, from the Bible, two short stories and one short passage that, to me, perfectly illustrates, keep on asking. Keep on asking and keep on receiving. Keep on seeking and keep on finding. David had become king of Israel. Saul, the previous king who had hunted David down for years, was now dead. And David was now well established as king. But David was best friends with Saul, the previous king's son, Jonathan. Jonathan had been killed in battle. And what normally happened in those days when a king came to power, they would normally kill all the members of the other king's family. You know, kill everybody to establish and make their position secure. But one day, David said to his servant, "Is there anyone of Saul's family left?" And David, the servant, said, "Yeah, there's this guy Mephibosheth." I love this story. Now, Mephibosheth, when his dad and Jonathan and other people of Saul's family were being killed in battle, his nanny, his nursemaid, picked up Mephibosheth and ran away with him and dropped him. And he became crippled in both legs, which in those days would have meant he was probably pretty incapable of doing much, wasn't really capable of any work. So you've got Mephibosheth, who's a cripple, and he's one of the only surviving members of the old King Saul's family. Most other rulers would have put Mephibosheth to death. But David said, because of my friend Jonathan, I want to show him God's loving kindness. Let's pick up the story here. Let's have the next one, please, David. Then Ziba said to King David, according to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do. So Mephibosheth ate at the king's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. And he was lame in both his feet. But I love that picture there of somebody undeserving, unworthy, had no right to be there, but he ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem. He ate always at the king's table. Now, that's just an expression, because it doesn't mean 24/7 he was at the king's table. Oh, more donuts. Oh, more. And he sort of, you know, really gross. It's not that. It means that whenever he wanted to, he could come to the king's table, because he was treated like one of the king's sons. And I don't know how he did it. He had servants to help him. His lameness was covered up at the table. And he came and sat at the table. I'm here like one of the king's own sons. And that steak is mine. And that chicken is mine. And oh, some of that. Look what we've got tonight. Karen and Josh were going, oh, I'll fancy that. I wish I was Mephibosheth. Because he was treated like one of the king's sons. And we're told to keep on asking. That doesn't mean 24/7 we're meant to be, I've got to keep on praying, I've got to keep this attitude of prayer. It doesn't mean like that, but it means every time there's a need, every time there's a fear, every time there's an anxiety, you come like one of the king's sons to your heavenly father and say, oh Jesus, I'm just going to take what I need from you. I'm going to ask and keep on receiving. I'm going to keep on seeking and keep on. I'm coming daily to the king's table. You read in the Bible that Judah, several hundred years before Jesus, they were taken into captivity. And they got one of the last kings of Israel, Jehoiakim. And he was taken into captivity. Was he blinded, Stu? Was he the one who had his eyes taken out? Yeah, I can't remember if it was Jehoiakim or Jehoiakim. But he was one of the kings taken into captivity by the king of Babylon. And this is what we read about him towards the end of his life. Thanks, David. That's the name of a great Babylonian king in this passage. In the 37th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim. So he's been in exile, taken prisoner now, 37 years. Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, so it gives you the date, listen to the name of this king, Evil-Merodach. What a great name. You know, you've got Darth Vader, but just imagine, I am Evil-Merodach. You know, what a great name. Who's your dad? Oh, my dad's Bob. Oh, my name's John. Oh, my dad is Evil-Merodach. You know, what a wonderful name. Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, graciously freed Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat above the seats of the kings who were in Babylon. They'd taken other kings captive as well. So Jehoiakim put off his prison garments, and every day of his life he dined regularly at the king's table. And for his allowance, a regular allowance was given him by the king according to his daily needs as long as he lived. So this king of Babylon, He's got the kings of the other nations he's conquered there as his trophies, probably as his servants as well, which was often be the case in those days. But this new king, evil Merodach, comes to power. For some reason, God's causing him to show favor to Jehoiakim, and he brings him out of prison. He treats him with favor and speaks kindly to him. He gives him a better chair than everybody else that's higher up and gives him prominence and favor above all the others. And what happens with him? Every day of his life, he dined regularly at the king's table. So breakfast, dinner, tea, supper. He was there. Oh, I can't eat now. God, I've been here for a week and I'm stuffed. Oh, I've got to give lunch a miss today. I am stuffed. I'll have a big breakfast. That'll see me through to about 3 o'clock when we've got, peacock tongue and pheasant. Oh, that sounds nice, you know, dining and all these lovely delights. And an allowance by the king according to his daily needs. And if that's how evil Merodach knows how to treat people, what about our Heavenly Father who says, keep on asking and you'll keep on receiving. Keep on seeking and you'll keep on finding. Come to me. Come to my table as often as you like. Come and take what you like. Come and receive from your daily allowance. Didn't Jesus say something like, we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need today. It's been appointed by the king. If evil Merodach of Babylon can do this for the king Jehoiakim, every day providing for what he needs, then what about us? And there's another passage from the Old Testament that illustrates it as well. Let's have the next one, please, David. From one of my favourite books in the Bible, Song of Songs. That love song that is between Solomon and his bride, Jesus and his church. And the bride says about the King Solomon, he's brought me to his banqueting house and his banner over me was love. That's how she describes being in love with the King Solomon. He's brought me to his banqueting house where everything I could ever wish for, it's there. And his banner over me is love. Everything he does is because he loves me, is because he adores me, is because he's passionate about me. And bring that towards Jesus and his church. He has brought me to his banqueting house. And everything he does in my life and in your life is because he loves us. He cares for us, as we read in Peter. He's passionate about us. And so every day he says, come to me. Come to me and ask. Every care, bring it to me. Every need, bring it to me. Everything that makes it you afraid, as soon as it happens, come running to me and tell me all about it. Probably the last verse. If you can just have it up, please, David. One of my favourite verses in the whole Bible. John 1:16 from the Amplified Bible. Christmas is coming. If you're looking for a good Christmas present, and I know Lynn can recommend it, and you use the Amplified as well, Dave or Brenda. Dave, get yourself an Amplified Bible. It really unpacks the meaning of some of the verses in the Bible. Great, get yourself one. John 1:16, talking about Jesus, out of his fullness, his abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and were supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favour upon favour, and gift heaped upon gift. It's out of his fullness, his abundance, his immensity that all of this pours into our lives, and it's when we ask him. So earlier on, I started off with this siphon, and I said, just imagine if you'd got a tank of water up here and a bucket here, and I started siphoning. Say that bucket there held, we'll call it 1,000 litres, 1,000 gallons. I know they're not the same, but just for the sake of the metric and imperials, sounds like a, wrestling match or something. But just imagine you've got a big tank of water up there and you start siphoning it into this bucket. And that bucket will overflow because there's more in that container up there than that bucket can hold. So there's more to give. Now, forget about the bucket and the big container. And we're talking about me, and we're talking about you and Jesus. And it says about Jesus, out of his fullness, out of his abundance. And that is one of the reasons it is so important to believe that Jesus is God. God the Son of God. Not just a God like the Jehovah's Witnesses and people would say, but he is God. Because if he's God, he's got a fullness. He's like a fountain. He's like an ocean. There's an enormity. I can't describe how big he is. But it's like me, I get my little siphon of prayer of a morning and I say, Jesus, will you give me enough for today? And he gives me the strength for today. God, the kids are driving me wacky. The kids are like really wearing me ragged, which of course never happens in our household because they're such two delightful little darlings. But you come to Jesus because you've got a need of patience. You've got a need maybe for peace. You've got a need maybe for joy. Think of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You need the bill paying. You're hurting. You're fearful. There's things going on and you think, can Jesus deal with this? Is Jesus big enough? You look at that and you see the enormity and the vastness and the fullness of Jesus, and you can come to Jesus and you can say, Jesus, I'm going to ask, and he'll keep on giving to you. You'll keep on receiving. You come the next day and he's just as full. He's not diminished, because even if, say, we section that bit off and it was full of water and I took a cup of water out this size, there'd be slightly less water in there, wouldn't there? And if I came every Sunday and took a cup of water out of a big container like that, well, maybe after a century or so, there'd be no water left. But with Jesus, I can come, and I can come as often as I like, and I can come as needy as I like, and I can come as desperate as I like, and I can come as worried as I like, and I can come as guilty as I like, and I can come as fearful as I like, and out of his fullness, each one of us is supplied with grace upon grace and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing and favor on favor. And he sends us away with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, and more than we deserve. And Mephibosheth looks on and thinks, wow, they've got something better than I had. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, looks on and thinks, wow, I thought I got it good at the table of evil Merodach. He'd got it good, but I've got all of this from King Jesus. I went up in the loft this morning just to get something down. And as I was up in the loft, I saw a book and it reminded me of a scripture. It's not on the screen. It's Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, which says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. It's coming up to Christmas, so I think a lot of people should know the answer to this one. What does the name Jesus mean? It means the Lord who saves. His name in Hebrew is Yeshua. Isaiah 12, verse 3, literally says, with joy you shall draw water from the wells of Yeshua. With joy you shall draw water from the wells, not of this thing. this thing floating around in the ether called salvation. But you'll draw water from the well that's called Jesus. And he's a well that's deep enough. He's a reservoir that's full enough. He's a fountain that is constantly being replenished. So each one of us can come in all of our brokenness. Because this sermon has been fermenting in my heart now for a few months. And it would be so easy for me to come here this morning and say, Jesus said to ask, you need to ask. You need to pray more. You need to get your finger out and get up early and pray more, because that's what Christians should do. And I could put it like that. And you might stick with it for a day or so, or you might just think, oh, don't like the sound of his voice. But instead, if I come to you and say that in Jesus there's a fullness, there's an immensity, there's everything you will ever need in him, absolutely everything, and he invites you to come to his table and have a daily allowance as well, and to ask and keep on asking, and seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking. For everyone who keeps on asking keeps on receiving. Everyone who keeps on seeking keeps on finding. And everyone who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. If I put it like that instead, and say, this is the one you can come to. All you have to do is ask. And he's not going to give you a scorpion. He's not going to give you a snake in a bag or something like that. But instead, he's got good gifts. Yes, material things to help us. The spiritual things that give us the oomph to keep on going through life. The emotional things, the physical things. Because he's got it all. And just like evil Merodach got King Jehoiakim and said, you're out of prison. Take off your prison garments. Come and sit at my table whenever you want. And there's an allowance for you. Draw on it whenever you've got a need. So our King Jesus just comes and says, come out of your prison. Come out of your guilt. Get rid of your shame and come into my dining room. And you can have as much as you like. Whenever you like. And there's a daily allowance for you. So you look at the fullness that's there for you. That's there for me. And I'll just repeat those words of Jesus. Ask and keep on asking. And it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking. And you will find. Knock and keep on knocking. And the door will be open. For everyone who keeps on asking, keeps on receiving. He who keeps on seeking, keeps on finding. And to the one who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Ask. He's there for each one of us. Thanks, Joe.